Order in surplus.
All right, you're on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw. Good. Good evening, good evening, everybody. Today is Thursday, January 15th, 2026. It's 6:09. In compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, this is a budget workshop meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice was published in the Hunter Review, posted on the Township Bulletin Board, and as a courtesy, posted on the Township website. Official action may be taken at this meeting. Okay, I would like everybody to please stand for the flag salute, and then we'll have a moment of silence for our troops that may be in action soon.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Mr. Abakowski?
Here.
Ms. Kohler?
Here.
Mr. McKee?
Here.
Mr. Webb?
Here.
Mr. Woger?
Here. Okay, can I get a motion to open to public comment, limited to agenda items only? Can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second. Yes.
Roll.
No,
yes.
I'm gonna change it up. I'm gonna do roll.
Oh, call. You're gonna do every single roll call?
Yeah,
oh, okay. All right.
I'd like to try something.
Well,
new.
That's good because then you'll know who the vote
that's
was.
Something new.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I like to confuse everybody.
Yes.
Keeps everybody on their toes.
Yes.
Mr. McKee.
Here.
No. Yes. Mr. Nell.
Yes.
Mr. Webb.
Yes.
And Mr. Woger.
Yes. Okay. Anybody?
Yeah.
Bill Bone, just a couple comments. I guess this is, of course, the preparation. We're back at the 2026 already for preparation of the budget. And I'm assuming you're going to go over the state of affairs in reference to the numbers.
Yes, we have our CFO, Lorraine, here, and she's pretty much going to drive the discussion.
Okay, so one of the questions is, what was last year's compared to this year's a comparison? Also, what the amount for the, was it 1%, 2% cap is your max the state allowed?
2% cap.
There's two caps.
2%,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Putting that number in.
Except there can be things outside of the cap that are allowed. So.
Yeah, see what kind of deficit, what the numbers we're looking at and the impact of the health care and raises.
State
and
mandates.
State, yeah. And they seem like they're coming out every day now.
Yeah.
Lately. So things like that, so we can, a couple of those things. I don't know if there's any retirements, tax sales, keeping up with the real estate to bring in as many tax sales as we can, if people are behind or stuff like that. I don't know if things could be looked at in that way. And then, of course, based on my memory from last year, there's discussion, I mean, everything's going to be hit, so all the departments and trying to save money and going through the whole process. So I understand that. I'm going on a cruise soon, hopefully. So I'll get this out. If there's any talk or anything about combining the planning board and zoning board, I would discourage it at this point in time because of the timing of it, of until other things are resolved. From my understanding, the zoning board cancels their meetings when there's no applications, therefore not costing the taxpayers any money. And I don't know what the planning board does. I don't know if
yeah,
the planning is similar,
mm-hmm.
you know, to save taxpayer money so you don't have the professionals. And same thing with the efficiencies of if you need meetings or not with committees and things like that. So those are all things that you guys have been on top of and diligently doing. So I just want to be aware, make aware of that and make a note of it. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Seeing nobody that looks like they want to get up, can I have a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Carolyn?
Mr. Avikowski?
Yes.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wojcik?
Yes. Okay. All right. Under new business, preparation of the 2026 budget. This is very preliminary. We all just got to see it shortly ago, and I'm going to introduce our CFO, Lorraine, and if you wouldn't mind, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As you mentioned, this is very preliminary. I know everyone thinks that we're in budget season again, but my budget season never ends. It's just a continual process. Every month there's a budget review. There's making sure we're on track with our expenditures, making sure we're on track with our revenues. This document that you have before you is deliberative in nature and is not to be dispersed to the public under any shape or form. The public has ample opportunity to ask questions. You can engage as much as you would like. I can provide information to release, disseminate to the public if you would like, but the information that you have in front of you is definitely deliberative. It contains personnel adjustments and modifications that should not be posted for the public to view. That being said, we're as transparent as we possibly can be. We have quite a budget gap this year. I have not officially closed 2025 yet. I'm several months behind still in our current fund. All the revenue is posted. All of our expenditures are, of course, made, but there's a reconciliation for every month. So I still have some catch-up to do for current funds. We do have six funds that are closed. There's another two that are almost closed, and of course our largest fund, our current fund, is not yet closed. I won't have the results of operations until that closes, so I can't tell you how good of a year or how bad of a year we had. It looks like our revenue is right on track, so we should regenerate fund balance. I don't know how much we did use in our 2025 budget. We used $631,000 of fund balance, so that only left us with $700,000 to $800,000 sitting in fund balance. I know there were some questions about fund balance. Maybe not everyone is familiar with what it actually is. Some people have called it a savings account. It's really not a savings account. It's like a retained earnings for a commercial type of accounting process.
However, we can't use them. It has to remain there.
Right.
It's not like retained earnings.
It's not. It's not completely up for grabs. There's a lot of different thought processes. Some people think, oh, it's money that's left over from operations. We should give it back to our taxpayers. No offense to taxpayers, but I would never recommend doing that. The whole purpose of your fund balance is to keep your tax rate as steady as possible. So every year you have, say, this year we had a 42% increase in a lot of our premiums from health insurance. Last year we had 27% increase. Well, the whole purpose of fund balance is to keep you as level as possible, because you don't want your tax rate going up 50 cents one year and then down 30 cents the next year. You want it to be as steady as possible. Everybody's homeowners, their payments for their mortgages, if they had a mortgage, would be astronomical. They'd have premium refunds. It would just be a mess. So you want to keep your tax rate as steady and even as possible. If you go up a little bit, I would never recommend you going down unless there was some windfall. But you want to keep it either a steady, slow incline or as flat as you possibly can. So fund balance helps you do that. Sometimes you need a little bit more out of it. Sometimes you don't need as much out of it, and you can generate a little bit more. The way that you create fund balance is by bringing in excess revenues, more than you anticipate. So if we anticipate we're going to raise $100,000 in taxes and we actually get $105,000, we just generated $5,000 of fund balance. We also get it by not spending our full budget. So if we say we're going to spend $100,000, that at the end of the year sits in reserve the year after, it gets canceled back to your fund balance. So if we had $10,000 left and we don't spend that, that will go back to fund balance. It takes a year to get there, but it'll go back to fund balance. Building fund balance normally is really slow. Spending it is very quick. So to be a good steward of your taxpayers' money, you want to be as frugal as you possibly can with fund balance. You want to have, I only have a 5-year projection, but you really want to have a 10-year projection so that you are sure that you're good stewards, that you're monitoring and managing that fund balance. So if you use an awful lot one year because you had a one-time huge expenditure that came up unexpectedly and you use a little bit more to balance your budget, you want to have a plan to regenerate that. Or you want to say, you know what, we're not going to use very much for the next 5 years while we slowly regenerate so that we're not increasing your tax rate too much to account for that. That being said, in our preliminary budget, there's $500,000 of fund balance being used to as a revenue to take in to hopefully offset, make a balanced budget. That's not enough. We do have a budget gap right now. I don't know if you want me to say what the budget gap is, but it's quite large.
Why does it not hold back?
Okay, so right now the difference between our revenues and our appropriations is $896,000. So it's almost $900,000. We may be able to increase some of our revenues as soon as I close the year. I'll know how much more we can kind of tweak them up so that we can have more. But just like any good budget, it has to be balanced. So our revenue has to equal our appropriations. When your appropriations grow too quickly, if your revenue isn't changing, then you're using more fund balance. If you maximize the amount you're going to anticipate from your revenues, you're going to regenerate less fund balance. So you have to be careful that you have a good balance between what you're anticipating, what you're taking in, and then what you're expecting to spend. What a lot of towns do when they start to have a little bit of a budget crunch, they will max out their revenues. If they think they're going to get $15,000, they anticipate $15,000, and then they're not generating any fund balance. They're also utilizing fund balance to offset a budget so they don't have a tax increase, and then you're kind of burning your candle at both ends. So you're reducing what you're regenerating in fund balance, and you're using a lot of fund balance. So that's a non-sustainable process. We're not in that category. We do have a lower fund balance than I would like, but we're not maximizing all of our revenues. We're close, but we're not yet. Mm-hmm. If you remember last year, we had a problem not with our levy cap, but with our appropriations cap. So we have two caps. The state of New Jersey is very restrictive, which is why it has such an excellent bond rating. Our levy cap is the 2% max that you can increase your tax levy, so what we can charge the taxpayers. That can only increase 2%. I was just kidding. I don't remember who it was before the meeting, but it's a really short 30-page document for the calculations for our levy cap. Certain things are excluded, and the state will allow you to increase a little bit extra for expenditures that they feel are above what the cap percentage is. So some of the things you can exclude are your LOSAP contributions, your debt contributions, your capital contributions, and health, which is good because our health is up about $144,000. It could have been a lot worse, but right now it's up $144,000. So the state will allow you to take a certain percentage of that and give yourself a cap adjustment so that you can increase your taxes a little bit more. So we're in really good shape with the levy cap. You could increase taxes up to, you know, 8 or 10 cents if you wanted to. I'm sure that nobody has, don't be alarmed, I'm sure nobody has the desire to do that, but you could entirely fund the budget gap by increasing taxes. That's not necessarily your most responsible thing, and I think people would have pitchforks and torches in the parking lot if you wanted to do that. So I'm sure that that's on no one's agenda.
8 cents of per $100 of assessed value of the home.
Yes. So that would be a significant increase. Just to refresh your memories, last year we went up 2.4 cents, and you guys really didn't want to do that. You wanted it to be less. But that was overall, it was a relatively small increase facing. Last year, there was still large health insurance costs. Mm-hmm. There were labor costs that went up. Every time oil goes up, everything costs more for us. We're not manufacturing anything here, so kind of import everything. So we have delivery charges. We have everything goes up every single year. So 2.4 cent increase last year was really not so bad when you looked at how much the budget increased. So our levy cap, we're well under. We're fine. You have more than what you would need. The problem that we have is with our appropriations cap. So the state also limits the amount that you can increase your budget appropriations to 2% this year. So on the next meeting, there will be an ordinance to increase to the 3.5%. So that doesn't really enable us to take in that much more. The 2% cap means that our budget appropriations could increase $106,000. That's not very much. Our labor costs in the PD went up more than that. So that's not very much. That 3.5% cap would enable us to go up $185,000. Still not a lot. I think we had 29 cents is what we ended up left in our appropriations cap last year. Right now, with the preliminary budget as it is, we're about $400,000 over that cap. So things that don't count in this are our debt, our capital, our RUT, our Reserve for Uncollected Taxes, any deferred charges, any grants, any shared services. Those are all outside the cap.
The township doesn't carry any debt right now.
No.
Yeah, we have zero debt.
You have what's called authorized but not issued for the fire truck, and that's it. We have no issued debt right now. We do have that liability hanging out there, right, but we have no issued debt right now.
That's handled like capital, right? Is that a different category than?
Capital is definitely different. It's part of your municipal budget. It's the current year of your capital program is included in your current fund budget, but that's outside the cap. So you could cut all the capital and make zero contribution to capital, and that won't fix our cap ordinance appropriation problem. So our budget last year was total appropriations were $7.5 million. This year we're $8.3 million. There's definitely room to cut in there, but you have to be mindful that we're $400,000 over our cap, so that's $400,000 over what the state says we can increase our budget by. So you need to find, or I need to find, someone needs to find $400,000 inside the cap that we can reduce. That's our big problem.
Using surplus too.
Nope. Surplus doesn't matter. This is just our spending appropriations. Okay. So we're fine on the levy cap. It's just the appropriations cap that we ran into this problem last year as well.
Some of them are hard, like the contractual PBA. That's not going to be able to be manipulated.
Right, right.
Some, like the DPW and, you know, the stormwater management is passed down through the state. That expense we can't not do either. So
right.
We're captured in some way that we have to have that spending in place. We're going to have to go around that. And that's not going to be easy.
No, it's not.
But if we got some, even for the police department, we could get some grants.
That doesn't
possibly
matter.
That won't help either?
That doesn't matter.
It's not going to help?
This is just your spending appropriations.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this is what you're spending for all of your offices, your police department, your emergency management, your public works, your parks and grounds, everything inside the cap. So all of your operational costs, that's where you need to kind of focus a lot of effort on.
So it's almost like line by line we go down the budget.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So every increase that you have eats up some of that cap availability. So you have to reduce somewhere else to accommodate for that. So last year we were right at the threshold, 29 cents. 29 cents is almost a little silly, but we used our entire appropriations cap last year. So knowing that we were that close last year, any appropriation you increase for 26, you have to decrease somewhere else because we're at our limit. That's the problem that we have. That and we have a budget gap.
Is there any way to get any sort of an exception to that cap?
Yes, you could make an application to the local finance board. You'd have to have a valid reason as to why you need that exception, and they would make the determination as to whether or not you would qualify.
Well, what would, based on other applications in the past, what would be a valid reason? What's an example of a valid reason?
I've never had to go to the local finance board.
That's like looking for extraordinary aid, isn't it?
It's a similar concept to that, yeah.
Right.
But it's yeah, we would
at
have to.
At that point, does the funds through the state or wherever, do they have then a position in the township because of that additional aid that you're looking for?
Oh, like would this invite them in to say, come monitor us? Yes. Because we, I mean, I'm sure they would, okay. We would have to, we wouldn't be able to have self-review for our budget. That's for sure. We'd be under, not like a surveillance by the state, but they would definitely be more interested in our finances than they are right now.
We were faced with this 15, 14 years ago. This discussion came up about, you know, looking at aid, help, and we chose not to go that route. And that's what I remember the discussion was around.
Yeah. If I mean, if you want, I can look into what exceptions would be.
We're talking about two different things, though. There's
right.
Aid
yeah,
is one
not
thing.
Aid.
Getting an exception
is something else. This would be an exception to allow us to spend more than the appropriations cap would permit us to. Yeah, I can. I'm happy to do a little research into that to see.
I think that would be a good idea.
Okay.
Just so we understand what the options are.
Okay.
Doesn't mean we have to do it.
Looks like there's. I just kind of Googled it.
What's that?
I don't know. I Googled it to see what they have there, and it's a. New Jersey property tax cap law limits the annual increase in the tax levy for municipalities at 2%.
That's
an increase above 2% cap can be achieved through specific statutory exclusions by seeking voter approval via a public referendum. Some of the valid excuses is certain cost expense would be debt service payments, principal and interest on bonds, pension fund contributions, increases in health insurance.
Yeah, that's the levy cap, though. We're looking for the appropriations cap.
All right,
cap.
So let me see if I can.
And we still have to keep a pretty big reserve for uncollected taxes in case
right.
nobody in town pays their taxes.
Right, and that is outside the cap. So okay. Is everyone familiar with the RUT is?
I think I explain it.
Okay, it's
for
not
the purposes
the,
of
it's not the deer
public.
Run, which is what my husband always thought of when I said RUT. But so the reserve for uncollected taxes is like an allowance for doubtful accounts. When in New Jersey, we are in the wonderful position of the municipality collecting taxes for all of the taxing entities, the county, the school, the other school, any special districts, the town collects all those taxes. And the town then has to pay 100% of the levy to the county, to the school, to the other school, and to any other special district. Anyone that doesn't pay their taxes, whether they pay them late or they just say, I'm not going to pay you anymore, that comes out of our share. So we have, I don't remember what the percentage is, maybe 17% of the entire tax bill, but we suffer the consequence 100% of anyone that doesn't pay their taxes. So what the state requires is that we raise what's called a non-spending appropriation, the reserve for uncollected taxes. And if we have $100,000 of taxes that go unpaid, we have to raise that much more in our municipal budget to account for that, because we have to pay all of our contracts. We have to pay all of the other entities 100%. So the amount in our budget is $650,000. So that is, I'll tell you how many cents that is. That's about 7 cents of your taxes go just for this non-spending appropriation that guarantees that we have enough money coming in to meet all of our obligations while paying all the other taxing entities 100%. So I never thought that that was fair. I thought that everybody, the county and the schools, should share in that uncollected, but the state doesn't feel that way, and they never will. So we have to raise that much more than what we really need just to ensure that we have the spending
capacity. So where does that money go at the end of the year?
It's non-spending. It doesn't go anywhere. It's actually a journal entry that reduces our amount to be raised by taxation right off the bat. As soon as we adopt our budget, that's the first entry I do, because I love to see that receivable go down. So it doesn't go anywhere.
And educate me. Did we get any municipal aid from the state this year?
No, we don't get any state aid. The state likes to say that we get state aid. We do receive energy tax receipts. Mm-hmm. That used to be a local.
Not every town gets that.
Almost every town does. We have an exceptionally large number. Yeah. It used to be a local revenue, and the state said, you know, that's really too cumbersome for you to collect, so we'll collect it for you,
oh, yeah.
and then we'll pay it to you. But we have absolutely no state aid. And all the other towns that I've worked in that have state aid and energy receipts, every year your energy receipts go up and your state aid goes down. So miraculously, energy goes up every year, but it's always the same exact amount that your state aid is cut. But we don't have any state aid, so I always thought that that was strange. I'm kind of wondering where they have all that money stuffed that they're not giving back to us in energy receipts.
I went to the appropriations one, and they actually have a whole handbook on New Jersey appropriations, making a good place to live and all that. But they are also talking about increase, like you could, it's a process, lots of ordinances. Last resort is like a referendum on the ballot to raise. But the group health insurance increases above a certain threshold. Debt service payments on previously approved capital projects, mandated costs like court orders, federal state statutes or agency directives, emergency appropriations for disasters, civil disturbances, or other emergencies requires local finance board approval and timely documentation. Essential services, if you have garbage pickup and stuff like that. Sale of assets, I don't know what that is. And anyway, so there's a way, but it's a process.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like we'd have a strong case with you noting those, other than our health insurance. But I'll definitely look into it and see if the auditor would have to help me with that, because I've never made an application to the local finance board, and it's a book. So
yeah,
but I'm happy to look into that. But
They'll let the schools go over the cap, because we had that happen last year, which is why people got huge tax increases, because the school was allowed to go over their cap. But they won't let us do that.
No, we need special permission.
I'm just saying it was kind of Fauci Gucci.
Yeah. So do we want to go through and look at, not line by line for our first go through, but do you want to look at just in general where we are?
Take the totals of each one and go through it that way instead of
we
line
definitely,
by line?
We definitely can. Do we want to start with revenue, or
yeah,
do you want
suggestion.
To start with the appropriations portion?
Let's start going through it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's just one meeting out of like six.
Yeah, we have a lot of meetings to do.
When you do that, could you flag the items that count for the appropriations cap?
Sure. Do we want to start with revenue or no? I think Carolyn gave you your revenue copy as the last page. I normally do it as the first because that's the happy part.
Well, some changed from what I got initially, so
yep, there's been a lot of changes. Yeah. This is a very fluid document.
Line by line.
I would suggest going line by line. I did change this this afternoon, so okay. It's kind of like 5 minutes after you print it, it's outdated. So
yeah, we won't be making any decisions. It's more about just we can talk about it, and then we'll have a record of everything.
Okay. The place that I'll start then is revenue. That should be your bottom page.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Are they stapled, Carolyn, or no?
What okay. Is it? So it's page.
This one. This one.
Oh, this one.
Okay. It starts out with your local municipal property tax.
Mm-hmm.
Rich, you got it?
I have it.
Okay.
That's it, yeah.
Dave, you good?
Yeah.
So last year our levy was $3.1 million. It's in our draft at $3.1 million again. No tax increase is in this budget right now.
Why is that actual so different from the anticipated in 25?
Because we pay out to the school. That's the actual, all the funding. That $7.7 million is what we've actually brought in. It's a decent amount more than that. But that's every single dollar that we bring in, and that's because we bring in for the school and the county as well. So we bring in the entire municipal levy. So we bring in $26 million overall.
And it's 12 cents for the municipal budget, 16 cents for the county, and 72 cents for the schools, thereabouts.
Yeah, the county.
I guess I don't understand why. But in that particular case, why would the number in the right column, it's really a different number than the number in the left column.
It is. If you want, I can put it out there a little differently. I can include that as zero.
I mean, I understand it now. You explained it, but
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can take out
the $26 million that you mentioned. But where is that on? That's not on.
That's
there.
Nowhere.
It's
yeah.
not there.
That's not there. But that's just how much money flows through the town, and we get to keep $3 million.
But just to be clear, all the items below that, as you go through,
know,
in the column that says actual, it's a direct comparison between the actual and the anticipated.
Yes.
Whereas in this case, it's really not. It's two different concepts.
Yes.
Okay.
So what we're saying here is, first line, local municipal purpose tax. We're anticipating $3,143,479. 2025, we anticipated the same thing, but we actually got $7,764. So what...
That's what Mr. Webb was just saying, that that's all the other money that we collect. We collect the entire tax levy. So it's $26 million is the total tax levy. So that will get up
Why
to 26.
Why wouldn't we anticipate?
We don't. We anticipated the 3.4. That first column is what we anticipate. The second is what we actually brought in.
So we don't anticipate that this, that we're going to collect for the other, the schools and everything else?
We do, but that can't be part of our budget.
Okay, that's what I wanted. Yeah, all right.
Okay, the next line down is our surplus anticipated. That's us taking money out of surplus so that we can offset our property taxes, hopefully. Last year, we anticipated $631,000. That only left us with $700,000 or so in our fund balance. So hopefully we regenerate at least that $600,000 so that we can take out another, I just have $500 as a placeholder in there just to get us started. That can change whatever your prerogative is. We used, say, 50% of our fund balance last year. That's a really high use of it. I would be more comfortable at 25%, but we need to balance the budget, so we have to use a little bit more.
So here again, why does the 2025 actual say zero?
I haven't charged it off yet.
Oh, okay. So it's just a timing of...
Yep. Yeah, I will. This was done well before the year was close to being closed. So it's a lot of things in the actual are just a placeholder for now.
Okay.
Our alcoholic beverage licenses, it's the same as last year. Hopefully we brought in that much. I could pull up Edmunds now and give you an up-to-date figure, but that would take a really long time. So I don't know how long you all want to be here. Okay, beautiful. Our uniform fire safety is, we didn't anticipate that last year, but as I was posting revenue, I thought, well, this is a decent amount of revenue. It's only $2,000. I'm sure we'll take in more than that. The state will allow you to anticipate as much as you received the year before, and we really don't have that many anticipated revenue. So one of the ways that we can start to at least a little more maximize our revenue is to anticipate those that just come in and fund through MRNA right now, miscellaneous non-anticipated revenue. We could anticipate some of the revenue that we know we're going to get in. We know we're going to get the cable fee from whatever the cable provider is in this area. There's a lot of revenue that we bring in that isn't necessarily, it's tracked, but it's not necessarily anticipated. So we could anticipate more of our revenue that we know is going to come in. We have our investments, our interest on investments. That may or may not get up to that 150 that we had anticipated. Our interest and costs on taxes is the interest that our taxpayers pay on their delinquent taxes. Our court fines, I did look at that earlier today, and we've received at least that much, so we'll be able to anticipate maybe a little bit more than the $35,000 that's in there now. The energy tax receipts, the state put out propaganda saying that it was okay to anticipate in your budget the amount that you were supposed to receive in 2025. So,
propaganda.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't use the term propaganda, but they put out information saying that you're allowed to anticipate for purposes of getting your budget together the amount that you received last year.
They tend to be somewhat mendacious in their claims.
Yeah, there's something. We did also were awarded Garden State Trust Fund money. That's a recurring revenue. So that's about as close to state aid as we could get, but it's not officially state aid. We do have a significant number of shared services between our LEOs, our SROs, and the property agreement with the Board of Ed that accounts for $395,000 of anticipated revenue. I know that we at least have Maple Lane for a grant for next year, so that will be in, that'll also be offset by an appropriation. It'd be nice if it were a windfall, but it's not. Our receipts from delinquent taxes, I won't have that exact figure until our actual annual financial statement is finished, because in that, we have a calculation that's done to review the percentage of tax collections that we've had of our delinquent balance, and there's a limit, an upwards limit of the maximum that you can anticipate. So I'm hoping that that we'll be able to get 300 out of that. Again, if you choose to increase taxes and use your levy cap bank, you could go up a significant amount, but this does not have any tax increase in it right now.
And we didn't get any grant for the stormwater requirements that the state put on us at this point?
Not that I am aware of.
Because you're showing zero on there?
Yep, not that I'm aware of.
It's basically an unfunded mandate because we got to buy equipment. The DPW is doing all kinds of work with retention basins and whatnot. Do we have can you just, as a side note, make a note of what that's costing us? I'd just be curious what that is. Just like last year, what it, because that's when it started. I'd be curious.
Yeah,
please.
We had some grants for the engineering piece, but not the hardcore stuff. When
that guy in the back there with the orange jacket does all that stuff.
Oh, I see the jacket, but not the face. I see two arms.
Thank God we have Warren.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's all the revenues that we have. It's pretty short and sweet. If we want to jump to our appropriations side, that starts with, I think the pages are numbered. It should be one of one, perhaps. It starts with the administrative and executive branch.
Mm-hmm.
This department is, and all of our administrative, all of our general costs. The mayor and committee are paid out of there. There is a formula error there from last year that I can see glaringly. It's the same, almost the same budget as it was last year. What is going on with this?
Because somebody chose not to take the extra $1,000 last year. They did.
Oh, okay.
So that's what happened.
Okay. All right. So our salaries and wages are right on track.
I did the same thing when I was mayor. Yeah.
Our OE last year was $60,000. This year it's down to $23,000. Before anybody gets excited, we created an IT department. Administration and clerk and PD and DPW, everybody was paying for a piece of IT, whether it was for a software renewal or licensing or some kind of malware protection. So everything has been grouped into an IT department now. So you'll see a couple of departments decreasing pretty significantly to move that funding into a new department. So it's not an overall savings. It's just a regrouping of the expenditures, just so you have an idea as to what IT actually costs. So administration went down from $60,000 to $23,000. Do you want to look at individual line items, or do you want me to give you...
I'd like to do the general stuff first to see what happens for each category, and then the ones that are going crazy, we can dig into that a little more.
All right, I'll just go like a 100-foot view. If you want to drill into anything, just stop me or shout out.
But again, if you could just indicate any time something's subject to the appropriations cap.
Okay, these are inside the cap. The next... everything that I'll mention until I note an exception is going to be inside the cap. Our municipal clerk, the employees are listed there. The salaries and wages went up per contractual obligation. The other expenses, the operational expenses, dropped by $8,500. Some of that is from the IT move. Others are the wonderful new legislation for advertising that only requires that, what, twice a month, junk ad kind of thing. So, we have a can't do math in my head that quickly, $4,500 decrease just in that one sub-account. So overall, the total clerk's department went down about $5,000-$6,000.
Just for clarification for the public, that means that we don't have to necessarily pay for a newspaper notification any further once March hits?
Yes, effective March 1st, any legal advertisements that would normally be placed in the newspaper will be placed on the website, stored and then archived. But for the entire year of 2026, twice a month, a small article advertisement needs to be run pointing the public to the township's website and to the state's website. So But that's a small cost compared to every single meeting with an ordinance or meetings, anything like that. So now everything will be digitized.
And
so
you don't have to notice any of the changes like you had to do in the past either in the paper. You can
do
that.
Correct. It will all be done effective March 1st.
Thank you.
So that's one state law that actually helped us save a little bit of money. Surprise.
They'll find another way to add on the other side, trust
me. You see how you have the paid from the clean communities, paid from finance, mm-hmm. you know, paid from recycling, but those grant amounts are not on the revenue page, right? They're
right. It's just trying to make you aware that a salary is that lump that's shown there, mm-hmm. but it's been allocated under different departments. So it's just so that you have the indicator that Clean Communities is paying a portion of that employee's salary.
Okay, because we have like zero under Clean Communities in the 2026 anticipated.
Right.
So I'm looking at it as a, you know, it's just a new way of looking at things because we had somebody else doing it for years
okay.
and years. So yeah,
that,
don't think I'm
it's
questioning
okay.
you. It's more about trying to get your logic into my brain.
No problem.
So if we've got, because you've got Clean Communities program with zero,
mm-hmm.
and 2025 was anticipated and actual was zero, but yet we've got $5,000 coming out of that grant, which is usually like $20,000 that we had.
Right. So grants are like trusts. They're cyclical. They don't go away, so they're not part of our operational budget.
So that's why.
Throughout the year, when we receive a grant, Carolyn will put through what's called a Chapter 159, and that's actually a budget amendment. That allows us to spend it, but that's not held in our operational budget. That goes into a grant fund. That money sits there that you can access at any point. So
when
this
we say like Clean Communities Program grant fund, drunk driving grant fund, and there's zeros, just know that it's being held in another spot.
Yep.
Just
yep.
like the $750,000 grant.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. That shows up once in your budget and then
it's
done.
Okay.
Anything else on the clerk's department? Okay, our elections. This really is just the cost that we have to pay the county for the ballot printing. That's pretty much the same as it was last year, $4,000. Finance. You really don't have any employees in finance because you have a shared service. But you do have operational expenses. Big, huge savings there. It went from $15,000 down to $7,000. It's really just because we have a much less expensive payroll service provider that I think Carolyn is loving. So it's
well, that was thanks to you guys.
It's a great company. There's a lot of flexibility. It's actually a good tool for employees as well. Hopefully they'll utilize it, but it's significantly less than our prior service provider.
Better service.
Yes. Yep, and new services to employees as well. They have a little bit more control over their deductions and tracking, and they can print their own pay stubs and W-2s, and mm-hmm. that's great. So hopefully that'll take a little bit off of Carolyn's plate, too. People won't be coming to her and say, I don't need my pay stub. So finance dropped by $8,000. Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
Working towards that cent. Our audit services are down $5,000. I really just over-appropriated last year. So it's corrected to what the contract actually is for this year.
We're actually getting a very nice audit, though, nowadays.
Yes. It's a beautiful audit. Very thorough. information technology, there's that brand new department. It has been zero because it didn't exist before, and that is $60,000. There is a formula error on the copies that you have. It only picked up totally my fault. It only picked up that last sub-account for $15,600. It should be $60,350. And that is all the computer upgrades. That is all the special services that we have that sends out notifications. That's our actual IT services. That's our backup to the cloud. That is all of our software for collection and finance and the website. And that's everything. Everything IT related has now been amassed into this IT department. For tax collection, a contractual increase for salaries and wages, and the operational budget dropped dramatically from $16,000 to $4,000, primarily because we are switching to a new software in 2026, so we'll be up to par with internal control for our tax software. And also the software was moved into IT. So it's another department that looks like it saved a lot, but it's really just moving into IT. For assessment of taxes, same thing, contractual increase for salaries and wages, and the operational budget dropped by $1,000. For our legal services, we did have 2 years ago an emergency for litigation purposes. We believe that that is now, we're through with that as much as we can be. So our appropriation dropped about $30,000 from $123,000, almost $124,000, down to $93,000.
Now, it's in the news today, I'm not going to mention names, but that we may be end up recouping quite a significant amount of escrow money that was owed to us. Where would that go once it came in?
That would, I can't refund a prior budget. I can't go back and refund, so that would come in as a miscellaneous revenue.
Okay.
And that you can move around in November, December?
No.
No?
No.
That's not one of those?
Totally separate. Okay. No, you can make budget transfers just on your appropriation side. You can't do anything with your revenue. If someone came in and gave us $1 million, we can't change our budget once the budget's set. So that whatever we would get back from that would just go through as a miscellaneous revenue, and at the end of the year, part of closing, it would close into fund balance. So that would be a great way to regenerate some fund balance.
Yeah. Okay. Somewhere between, I think, 35 and 50. I'm not sure what the number is, but 50?
That would be lovely.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to readjust all this.
Mm. Any questions on legal? This is the lowest we've been since 2023.
Thank God.
Hopefully that'll continue to come down. For engineering, we did create a new subaccount for tax maps. I believe that we're looking for some tax map modification, improvements, updates this year. So that's been listed separately in a subaccount. Still the same value associated with it, $20,000 last year, $20,000 this year. Next, we have our historian budget. Is there a reason why it's historian and not historical?
Always been historians.
Yeah. That makes me think of a single person. Like we have one town historian who tracks everything.
Historian committee.
Okay. That does have a change in their request for this year. The request was made for a part-time employee, so that's been included at $3,000, and their OE dropped percentage-wise dramatically from $3,200 to $1,100. Overall, the budget only went up between those two categories $900. Our museum budget, that has doubled. Not a very large amount, though. It went from $3,200 last year to $6,500 this year. They also submitted a request and have a very special 250th anniversary celebration this year.
Can you explain that to you? Because when we spoke with the union, and I sat down with you. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the historian part, that's the only place we put the per diem, and then we put everything else in the museum on your suggestion. So last year, the Museum and the Historians, our combined total was $6,000. So so this year we put most of the money into the museum budget, and then we put the per diem into the historian budget.
Okay. Did anybody have questions?
I think there's such a difference of how much more money is asked for the museum, where in reality it's not.
Yeah, last year was $3,200 for each. This year it's $4,100 for historian, $6,500 for museum.
You're on that now, right?
Yeah. I'll have to talk to you. We can talk offline. I'll make a note.
Okay. Our planning board, I know there was a question about that. That's way above my pay grade, so I'll leave that for you all to discuss. Our salary and wage is contractual. Our operating expenses increased from $18,500 to $24,500. That's mostly due to legal. If you remember, we really didn't have subaccounts before, so last year I kind of guessed as closely as I could to come up with amounts for the subaccounts. The overall budget was similar to how it had been the year before, but with adding the subaccounts, I kind of extrapolated wrong. So I had too much money in planner and not enough in legal. So that's been moved around for this year. Overall, the planning board budget has gone up about $7,000 from last year. Board of Adjustments, the same kind of scenario with them. Their salary and wage is a contractual increase, and their operational budget went up about $1,000. Overall, their total budget is up from $32,000 to $34,000, so it's about a $2,000 increase. Zoning officer, we had an employee change in that, and as such, the salary was adjusted, so there's a decrease in the salary. And the operational budget went from $800 to $450. Overall, the budget dropped by about $2,000. Here's one of our larger tickets, our insurances. This is our public professionals' liability, our workers' comp, our professional liability, and the volunteer accident policies. This came directly from the bill that we've already received, and that's up about $24,000 from last year. Last year was $260,000. This year it's almost $285,000. The only thing that we can do for that is maybe help with our workers' comp claims. Maybe I'm sure that everybody has the education that they need as far as safe work environments, but I don't think we have an excessive number of claims, but everything is just so much more expensive that your insurance goes up every single year. So almost $25,000 increase in our professional insurance. The real big one is our medical insurance. We had great strides this year in helping to educate employees to choose, and they, on their own, were very educated and chose some less expensive options for medical insurance. I know the public may not be aware that the state health benefits plan had increases. The largest increase in one of their plans was 46%. A lot of employees contribute 35% of that cost, which means the taxpayers pay 65% of that cost. Our budget last year was $684,000. This year, it's $828,000. This is one of our largest increases.
Can you say the numbers again, please?
Sure. Last year, the budget for medical insurances was $684,500. This year, in our preliminary budget, it is $828,900.
And we are looking to look at other options.
Right.
But it's an interesting situation because you have to be chosen almost. You can't, like these carriers, private carriers, if they don't think you're worth it or they think that people have too many medical claims, then they don't want you. So then it's like a HIF. What is that? Not the GIF, the HIF. What's the HIF?
The HIF, the health insurance.
Health insurance fund. Yeah. So we've got the broker working on that, and we're going to see where we stand.
Put us in Obamacare.
We did order our claims rating last year. That takes about 3 months for the state to get back to us, along with our prescription claims rating. We did, as Bev mentioned, we retained a broker last year, and they are in the process of shopping us right now. We're a very small employer. We do not have a lot of lives, so we're not going to be able to go into the open market, but there, as you mentioned, there are HIFs that we could potentially get into. So we're going to hope for some savings there. But due to labor contracts, we don't have as much flexibility as we would like.
Until like 2027, maybe.
Yes. So we are monitoring that. We're doing everything that we possibly can as quickly as we possibly can. We know that that's, you know, $144,000 increase. That's a large increase for us.
Yeah, we're especially working up against a timeline, too, because you don't want to end up getting locked in where the state is. They see a big sucking sound as all the towns are running out of that, you know, and then you end up where they're like, well, you can't leave for 3 years. You know, that's we're trying to juggle everything right now behind the scenes.
And according to what I've been told, that's coming.
Yeah, the state has put out some information. I won't use the P word again, but they've put out some information saying that they're exploring a lot of possibilities. So now I think they have 14 plans. They're looking at reducing the number of plans to 4. They're looking at taking some medications out of the approved prescription pool. Mm-hmm. They're looking at a lot of different options.
Right.
And requiring people to sign on for a 3-year max, at which case we'd be subject to any increase that they shove at us.
Right, so. And then with some of the contracts that we have, right. The, you know, the union contracts, if we have to make somebody, keep somebody similarly situated, like right. We can't reduce something and they only have 3 plans, then we don't want to get stuck having to pay the balance.
We could be stuck, so yeah, we're exploring a lot of options.
We're moving as fast as we can, but there's a lot of moving parts. Nothing's ever easy.
No. Any other questions on medical insurance? Okay. Next up is our police department. That's definitely our largest department. Our salaries and wages went up maybe a little under $200,000, a little over $200,000. That's a contractual increase. Our operating expenses only went up $1,000. So the chief is doing everything he can to curtail spending. Overall, the total department went from $1.3 million to $1.5 million.
So overtime might end up getting decreased, too, I'm thinking. Like last year we were able to, it's budgeted for one thing, but it doesn't right. always come in that
it'd,
way.
It'd be he's really nice.
He's ramping yeah. it down.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll
so
see.
It's a placeholder.
We'll definitely check in with the chief to see if he feels that we can make any modifications in that respect. All of these are inside the cap, too, Rich. Everything so far. Our OEM, Emergency Management Services, we have a salary and wage. I believe that's contractual. And our OE, overall, that department dropped by $250. Every little bit counts. Our volunteer fire is exactly the same. For some reason, our fire hydrant rental is included in with that. I'm not quite sure why, but it's paid from that particular area. So the budget last year and this year preliminarily is $130,650. Yeah, the fire hydrant is $650.
Where do we have a fire hydrant?
I don't know.
On Winding Brook Road, down behind the old. Oh, I knew Warren would know. He's
what
so
would
smart.
We do without you? I swear.
He knows everything.
Oh, that's right. It's by Aqua,
it's
right?
It's Aqua.
Aqua.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. I remember that.
Thank you, Warren.
Sure.
Now, anybody has a pond we can borrow? Maybe we can get rid of that.
Yeah, with no water in it. Yes.
Now the 200, what are we putting aside? $250,000 for 4 years for the fire truck, and that's where?
That was the original plan. That's in capital.
And that's outside of the
That's
cap.
Outside the cap.
So we didn't get to that yet.
Nope,
so I
nope. That's
so,
at the end.
Okay.
Save the big one for the end.
There's some decisions we're going to need to make about that, too.
Our uniform fire safety, there is one employee and a new employee. So we have two part-timers there now. And then their operational decreased dramatically. Overall, their budget dropped by $11,000. Last year they were at $23,000. This year they're at $11,000. Our public works department, road repair and maintenance. We have a contractual increase in salaries and wages by about $20,000, and the operational budget increased from $120,000 to $254,000. Most of that are things that I added in, not necessarily that Warren added in. So, yeah, he didn't ask me to mention that, but I kind of got that idea, that strong hint that I would say that was me. Some of it being because we've been severely under budgeting drainage and basin work. So we only had $7,500 in there. We spent probably $40,000, so I put $60,000 in there for that.
That's the state mandates, right? That's the drainage state.
Yep.
Yeah.
The other big change was stormwater management. We had $5,500 in there. It doesn't look like we spent anything, but we did. We ran out of money because Warren's budget kind of takes the hit for everything. So I put $50,000 in there for that. We will definitely have Warren meet with everyone to discuss what his actual needs are, because he's got a pretty large budget and he's got the ultimate command of everything in his reign. So he can explain anything a lot better than I can. Overall, Public Works went from $858,000 to $1,012,000.
So any reason why the salt isn't showing up on there, Warren?
It's the very next one.
Oh, okay.
DPW.
Sorry, you got a separate. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I see it now.
Any questions on Public Works? And that tree is in there as well. I think someone was very adamant that we spend that $40,000 on trees. So that's in there again.
Just real quick, Carolyn notified me that JCP&L told us they're going to be making a very robust tree cutting effort in the township within the end of January into February. Okay, so we'll be talking about that at the regular meeting. But that may help with that.
Okay, that'd be great. Our snow, which is primarily our salt purchasing, $90,000. We spent, I know it says 87, but we spent every penny and then some. So that's in there this year for 125. We did have some delays, and the financial strain did not make it easy for Warren to operate. He really had to scramble at times to get salt and to find funding so that we could buy salt. But at the end of the day, it's a public safety issue. So if we need salt, we have to buy salt. But that has increased from $90,000 to $125,000.
And that also includes that private road that we have to do now because
to pay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a big hit on us last year.
Yeah. Okay. Our recycling program, we have a coordinator that is paid from there for that salary and wage, and then the program itself that includes cleanup day and normal recycling, that came down almost $1,000 from last year.
Is any of that offset by, I thought we got some of that offset by grants, right?
Yep, we do have a recycling tonnage grant that that we spend out of as well.
In the trust fund. In the trust fund section?
It's in the grant, similar to the trust. That's a circular as well. That money just stays there. So we do get an allocation from that every year for recycling tonnage. Our recycling coordinator files this very labor-intensive report, and based on that is what the state decides to give us for a grant the following year. Next up is our public buildings and grounds. That kind of always takes a hit as well. Anytime we have, say, a porta potty and I didn't know about it to put it in the budget last year, we kind of hit this budget. So last year it was $45,000. I know it says $40,000. We spent every penny of that. This year it's been increased to $69,000. A large part of that, $5,000, is for building maintenance. Another $7,000 for garbage. We have park maintenance that used to be in its own little department. Carol and I couldn't figure out why, so that moved up into here. So that $2,600 there, it came out of another part of the budget, and it's showing in here now. So that's just a movement. Overall, increase from $45,000 to $69,000.
So what's the security for buildings and grounds? Is that part of the camera system? Or
I think it is.
For the park? Or no, it's just... It's just buildings and grounds security all around.
It's Carolyn's slush.
It's only $3,000.
And Carolyn said we had to put that in there.
Oh, wait,
it's not. Just kidding.
It's not panic buttons, is it?
No.
I don't think so.
No, and I don't think I put the cameras. I think they're under IT. So I'm not sure what that one is.
Neil. Security of the fire alarms and stuff.
Oh, maybe that's what that is.
Oh, like the annual. Okay. And the inspection. Okay. Thank you again, Warren.
Warren, you should be sitting up here with Lorraine.
That's the truth. right?
That guy, I have to say this. It's funny, the one time I said, one day they're going to find me floating in the Musconetcong River, and he said, don't worry, I know where the catch basin is. I'll just go retrieve you in Hampton. It's down in Hampton. And he knows everything.
He was serious, too.
I know, and I was serious, too.
Next up is our vehicle maintenance. This was a new department that we created last year. We had PD, DPW, and fire all individually paying for vehicle maintenance. So we put it together and gave them each a sub-account. So that actually worked well last year. We didn't get it into existence until after the first quarter was finished. So we did have some departments that were charged for vehicle maintenance, and it didn't quite make it all the way here. So we had $107,000 in last year, and this year it's $105,000. Our Board of Health, we do have a health inspector paid through that salary and wage, and we have fees that we pay to the county pretty much that makes up the operational budget. That decreased by $2,500 from $11,500 down to $9,000 preliminary for 2026. We have next up our Environmental Commission. That budget decreased from $3,100 to $2,750, so a couple of hundred dollars that decreased. Next up is our dog regulation. We do have a trust for animal control as well. The animal control does pay a significant amount of the costs associated with dog regulation. That primarily is raised from the licensing of dogs. So all that money goes into a trust. It's a dedication by rider, and we can pay appropriate expenses out of there. This is the allocation for an employee that does the licensing and the operational expenses, which really aren't very large, but the bulk of it does come out of the trust. We have our, that went up $150, $200 from last year. Our contribution to senior services is the same, $500 last year, $500 this year. Our underground tank remediation increased $300 from $2,500 up to $2,800 for 2026. Our recreation committee has a pretty exciting year planned. Last year the budget was $6,500. This year it's up $100 to $6,600.
Go back to the underground tank. Is that the squad building?
That's the squad building, and then the old fire station on Anthony Road.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's for the monitoring.
Yeah.
That we have
so
to,
we have to continually
the fire station one, and there was one.
So
over
it,
here,
it's got to stay in the ground where it is. It's just and they have to monitor it. $2,800.
Even though we pay the remediated, we have to monitor
they
it now.
Have to file paperwork with the DEP. It's quite a process that they.
It's an annual license too, right, or something? There's an annual license or registration
permit.
Does that expire at some point in time?
Nope. They told me you have that as long as you have the property now.
Wow.
It's revenue. State's counting on it.
So they're checking
they
the
spent
soil?
Everything else.
Is that what it is? Is it soil? I mean, what if you took
yes.
the tank out?
They don't
water.
Really
no.
just check the soil anymore. They've closed up all the wells and everything, but like they made us pave over the area so that the water can't penetrate the ground there and stuff like that. Hmm. They just come out and inspect that, and they have to file paperwork every year or every 2 years.
Yeah, it's biannual.
Because they have to come out and check it.
Hmm.
So
all things,
one year to the other.
Okay. All these hidden charges.
That's going to be Warren's retirement job.
Yeah, that's right. We could use him for a lot more.
We don't want him to retire just yet.
Not yet.
Okay, any other questions on the tank or recreation?
No, I'm good.
Move on.
Okay. Our senior citizen, $100 last year, $100 this year. Maintenance of parks, that's the $2,500 from last year. That moved up into public property, buildings, and grounds.
What is senior citizens for?
Yeah.
I don't know. We didn't spend it last year.
Is that for over when they meet over at the squad building?
I don't think so. I have to be honest, it's been there since the couple of years that I've been here. I'm not sure what it's. I don't think we've used
it. Has
any
not
money
go
yet.
To when they used to have the senior center at Bunville Church?
It's been there since 2021 that I can see right now, and we've never spent anything.
So it's something we could use for something else, like transfers, $100. Yeah. It's not a lot, but it all adds up.
Yeah.
We have a lot of things that
all right.
was always there before. and we don't know what happens with it. So
yeah, I mean, it's $100. If you don't want to fund it, I mean, we can take it out.
Well, I just was wondering, because I know that they do the once a month or whatever they go have size. Was it referred? Kim might know.
No, I don't think that was the
problem. It doesn't cost us anything over
here. We don't know what this is for. I'm putting that on here.
Then we have our library. That is the same appropriation as last year, $82,500. There's contractual employees and operational included in that lump sum. Our accumulated leave, we do have a trust for that. This $1,000 last year, this year, enables us to be able to transfer into the trust easily if there were any funding left from 2025. We have the next category is kind of a different one. It's a provision for salary adjustments. Our last negotiated labor contract was a couple of years in the making, and there were some retros that had to be paid for a prior year. So that's what that $60,000 allocation was for last year. Some of that was spent. This year it's only $5,000. I don't think we probably don't need it at all, but at this point it's just a placeholder. So if you want to cut it out, I'd be happy to put that to a zero. We have a celebration of public events. Last year it was $8,500. This year it's $5,000. We spent very little of that. I'm sure we spent more than the $300 that's noted there, but we didn't spend very much of it. The next category is our utilities. That's our street lighting, our electricity, our heating oil, telephone. I had a big mistake on telephone last year because only the municipal phones were charged to the telephone budget. The cell phones were charged to all the in other departments. So I underbudgeted by $8,000 last year. That's why it's increased to $16,000. The departments are now not being charged for their cell phones. It's all in utilities. The state in 2010 decided they wanted everything grouped together. A lot of municipalities used to charge like electricity to individual departments, and the state didn't want that. They wanted to know how much each municipality was paying for electricity and phones and internet and things like that. So we were supposed to start doing that in 2010, so we might be one of the last ones extracting our cell phones out and putting it in the combined 31 CAFRA. That is part of the reason for the increase. The other is that gas and diesel fuel is up by about $10,000. The phones, because I left out cell phones last year. And the internet and cable is increasing from $5,000 to $15,000. Overall, it's about a $35,000 increase from $149,000 to $184,000.
I thought gas and diesel came down.
Yeah, we might just be using more. I don't know. I can check and find out. Warren probably knows off the top of his head how many gallons we've used.
It did come down.
It's $10,000. I mean, unless this building gets hot, really hot sometimes. Yeah.
As part of my year-end closeout, I will make sure that these are updated and adjust to whatever we spent from their prior year. If there's any reason for a reduction, then I'd be happy to make it at that time. All of this still is inside the cap. Our contingent category, it was really our statutory. That's our DCRP. That's defined contribution plan. It's a retirement plan for employees that don't fit into PFRS or PERS. This includes our pension contributions for police and all non-police for PERS, our Social Security, the state disability fund, and that is increasing by about $29,000. Those categories were $702,000 last year. They are $731,000 this year. Most of them we don't have any say on. The largest increase in there was kind of offset by a decrease. The PERS, the Public Employees Retirement System, actually decreased from $162,000 to $148,000. That's amazing. I've never seen a pension bill go down. So there was some attrition. I'm assuming that there was an employee in PERS that was not replaced. And PFRS went up from $318,000 to $366,000.
And that's due, what, to salary increases?
Yeah. The great thing about that, even though all of our budgeting has to be on time, the state does not. So these pension bills that we're getting now are based on employees' earnings from 2 years ago.
Oh.
2 years. So we'll see in 2 years the impact from the new PBA contract. We'll get the first bill for that in 2 years. LOSAP is exactly the same, $2,100 last year, $2,100 this year. That whole next category is our grants. Grants are equally offset a revenue and an appropriation. They match exactly. So right now there's only that one grant for Maple Lane from the DOT in there. We could have another 20 grants in there. It's not going to change any, have no impact on our budget because it's going to be equally offset revenue and appropriation. You have your shared service for your CFO. That's the same as it was last year. I think there might have been a step, a 2% increase in that, but I didn't actually read the shared service agreement. So I just left it at the 60 last year, 60 this year. Our municipal court is another shared service that has a slight increase as per the contract from 27.5 last year up to 28.2 this year. So it's a little less than $1,000. This is the offset that you might have noticed in our police department. The offsets for the LEOs and the SROs, there is an increase, I believe. I will confirm with the contracts, but there's an increase in our SROs from 110 to 150, and for our LEO services as well. The field service, I believe, stays the same.
But the schools are funding that.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Which we're all still funding it. It's just
comes out of one pocket and goes in another pocket.
Right.
Well, why is that number different for the LEO services from the prior year?
I believe that the 370 from last year was just wrong.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then, to the extent it's an expense, what's in that? Is that dollar for dollar what's actually paid out to the officers?
For the most part, yes.
No, there's uniforms and things. I mean, there's a contract.
There's no overhead or any sort of. So there's no extra charge to the Board of Education for providing the service.
Just administrative, I think, but pretty much it's close, you know?
Right, right. The township may incur some additional costs, but they're not largely outside of this arena. So there's a revenue as well that is on the other side.
But the numbers are the same. I just checked back. The revenue number is exactly the same.
Yes.
So is that something that, I mean, the taxpayers pay it all at the end of the day. It doesn't matter in that sense, but for cap purposes, is there anything that can be done with that number in terms of the charge to the schools?
Well, it's not. If we removed it and told the school, yeah, you have to pay for that, then we'd have like a workers' comp issue. And I mean, there still are employees, so I think we'd have to be the ones.
No, not to raise the salaries, but just that there would be some charge for the fact that the town is taking on the burden of providing the service.
Like you're thinking that should be some kind of an exception?
I don't know about exception, but just that there would be a markup essentially on the service that's being provided to the school.
Like an administrative fee?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If I'm not
they
mistaken,
were just renegotiated.
I think there is.
Yeah, there is.
Well, that's why I asked.
Yeah, it's not a lot of money, but there is a markup on it.
Yeah, I mean, what's happening is, because I did that whole analysis where they're paying, we thought of every possible thing that officer was going to cost us. And we went to the school and said, right in a matrix, you know, here it is. And they said, okay, we'll pay it. So it's, again, it's like it's still coming out in taxes, but the number is the number. We're covered. We thought of everything.
No, I understand that. I was raising it for cap purposes, not mm-hmm. nothing else.
Okay.
It sounds like there's no place to do it because you're already doing it.
Yeah, this is outside the cap. When we started with shared services, that's outside the cap. So shared services, the SROs, and the LEOs. Yeah. I should have pointed that out. I had a notation to myself, but I forgot it. So starting at LOSAP, almost everything from there down is outside the cap.
Where's the low SAP line? What's the number?
Above grants. Below statutory.
Go to the other page.
No, I'm on the wrong page here.
The bottom of the previous page.
Are we ready to move on to capital?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Was like the very
just an overview for it. Last year, we appropriated $875,000, the year before $800,000, the year before $847,000, so we've been in that general area for quite a while. This year, it's $1,156,000. That is a relatively dramatic increase, mostly due to the $250,000 that we are setting aside for the fire truck.
Okay, if you remember, you
passed an ordinance for $1.2 million or somewhere that we were going to purchase a fire truck. That's been ordered. The money is encumbered. And this, while it's not a debt, it is a liability. It's an authorized but not issued debt. We don't have anything to pay yet. It's a four-year build-out for the truck. So we won't have to issue debt for quite some time. But if we don't raise it before we have to make a payment, then we will have to issue debt. So that
we're debt-free right now.
Yes.
Yeah, we've been for the past few years.
It's a decision we have to make about whether to bond it or whether to pay
or fund it.
Over the time, fund it.
Yeah. So pay-as-you-go financing is great for capital, especially when interest rates are up. But then, I mean, there's a whole stream of thought that says you don't want your taxpayers paying now for something that is not going to come into public use for 4 years. Some taxpayers that move out of town would be paying for it and then not utilizing the asset. Or you could think you just want to keep everything as steady as possible and everybody uses the pay-as-you-go. So it's just how you think about your capital funding.
We could amortize it over 20 years if you did a bond as opposed to paying all that up.
Yeah, if that's the only debt we're going to issue, that wouldn't really be large enough to bond, but we would issue a note for sure. That gets renewed every year. You normally have a pay down. After the third renewal, you have a statutory pay down on it. We could issue a note for that. It's a small amount. We wouldn't get good rates for a bond for something that small. But that's really the big increase. We're normally around $800,000 for capital, and adding that fire truck in there brings us up to over $1 million. So that's the big reason that we have the big increase in capital.
Would that help us if we utilize that new county shared service that they're using the county's rate to get us better rates for, like, something like that?
I mean, it would depend. It could if they're going to actually issue a bond.
They're a lot bigger, right? So maybe they can.
They might get better rates.
That would get us a better rate.
Yeah, that if you go out for a note now, because most municipalities weren't complying with secondary market disclosures. There was a huge pushback against municipalities that you would normally only do an official statement for a bond. Normally for a note you wouldn't, but since most municipalities were not complying with the requirements for secondary disclosure, the bond market has now pretty much pushed back and said, we want an official statement or we're not going to bid on your note. So for that, we need an actual bond rating. Normally a bond rating is $20,000 to $40,000. You'd have to hire a financial planner, which could be $5,000 to $10,000. And putting that official statement together is above my pay grade. That you would have the auditor, and that could be a $5,000 to $10,000.
Legal counsel, too.
Yep, your legal counsel would have to be involved in it as well. Normally, they don't charge you. Their role is a little bit smaller in that arena. They have review, but normally the retainer would cover that. Sorry, I know you're an attorney. But it's very expensive to go out for bonding. So if you would be interested in utilizing the county, we could save on all those incendiary fees. So that might be worth it. That, and then you'd have an actual bond instead of a note. So you'd
That's why they're pitching it. I don't know whether it works for us or not, but yeah, something, I mean that, to look at, something to look at.
That would definitely be something to look into. So that's the big reason for the increase in our capital. It's all of our normal capital. It's all of our setting aside for public works trucks, for police vehicles, for paving, for public property improvements. It's all the general stuff that you normally do, plus the $250,000 for the fire truck. Our last appropriation, I should note, in our deferred charges, we had $155,000 in deferred charges last year because we had that legal emergency that we had to raise 100% last year for $125,000, and then there was an overexpenditure of appropriation reserves for $29,000-$30,000. So that $155,000 we don't have this year. So,
and that's part of the stuff that
was the escrow.
Yeah, exactly, the escrow, that if we can get some of that back. So we had to foot the bill because people didn't pay their professionals. And
yep, so if we get that back, that'll be great. So, but that's $155,000 that we had to raise last year that we don't have to raise this year. So there's a little bit of a savings. Our last appropriation is the reserve for uncollected. That was $650 last year, $650 this year. Overall, our budget appropriations increased by $802,000. That's a pretty big increase. From 24 to 25, we went down $400,000. Some of that's in grants, so it's not really apples to apples. But our appropriations are definitely up this year, and we are definitely outside of our appropriations cap. So that's our kind of brief overview of where we are right now. If you guys want some homework, you want to go back and look through every department, see what you want to think about cutting. We don't really have a deep bench here, so it's not like we have expendable people. You definitely can't get rid of your finance officer, so don't. just kidding. a little plug for myself there. You do have to have one. It's a statutory position, though, so if it's not me. It's got to be somebody else.
Senior citizens thing. I think tomorrow somebody will probably say, no, I need it.
Yeah, save that $100. Yeah, so if you want to maybe do some homework, look out.
Did you go and sit with all the departments yet and
predominantly
walk through
yeah.
everything?
Yeah.
But we haven't gone to them and said, what are you going to cut?
No, that has not
that
happened.
That needs to happen.
Yeah.
Every single department.
I will give up my my supplies. I'm happy to do that. Yeah, sometimes municipalities will unilaterally cut each department 5%, 10%. The problem is that you get to an unsustainable level, that your salaries are always increasing, and your operating expenses to accommodate for that are always decreasing, and soon it gets to the point where, you know, Warren's not going to buy his own salt. So you get to a point where you're not sustainable. We're not there yet, but we need a modification because our expenditures far exceed our revenue. So you need to look at, nobody ever wants to cut services, but maybe this would be a good time to look at what services could we perform more efficiently that, you know, we could maybe save money, realize money this year instead of, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road. It's a tough conversation, but it's something that we're definitely going to have to talk about.
Did we have the shared service for the school, the money they pay? Where did that end up in here? Is that in here?
It's with the shared services close to the end. I mean, I can tell you the line, but
it's $3,000 or $4,000 more than that, but it's close to that.
All right.
But we haven't done anything finalized yet for 2020.
All right, but it is more than that, but we get that from them, so. Yeah,
is that for the property maintenance?
See, where is it?
Was that the property maintenance portion?
Where is it? Where are you looking? What's the number? Six dash.
It is right above capital. It's 40. The account number is 43495. If that helps.
The middle of page 10. Under the CO, the SRO, and then the BO.
Oh,
right there.
Okay. I got it. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. My laptop still has 10 hours left on it, so what do we want to do now?
So this is really going to be like 24,000. Like 23,000?
So as I look over this thing, it seems like that the expenditures that we can control are pretty well controlled. They're either even with last year or even less than last year. Okay. It's the expenditures that we can't control, cannot control, that have gone crazy. Which puts us in a bind.
We have a lot of contractual obligations that you can't modify at this point.
See, as business guys, me and him would look at that $800,000 and call that retained earnings, and that would help us push some stuff over, but we can't do that.
It wouldn't help at this point. It wouldn't help.
So we have to look at this thing and decide what it is we have to eliminate.
But as I'm understanding it, the real challenge is this appropriations cap, right?
Correct.
And you said earlier it was a $400,000, approximate $400,000 bogey that we're looking at.
Right.
Okay. So we're not even talking about how much taxes are going to go up or not go up or any of that. It's
right.
Sort of whatever it's going to be, it's going to be, assuming you found that $400,000.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, if you guys could come to terms with cutting $400,000 out of operations inside the cap, then that would put us, you'd still be looking at a tax increase, but then you could modify your capital appropriations to reduce your tax increase, if that makes sense.
Didn't we start out last year somewhere around almost $400,000 behind the eight ball too, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
So, other than for just going line by line and saying, oh, take 100 here, take 1,000, or et cetera, mm-hmm. is there any other means or technique by which to address the appropriations cap?
Think about your essential services. If there's any services that you currently provide that you may not want to provide or that you don't think you can afford to provide in the future, that would be your first thing. In Andover, we're looking at a department that we could outsource. I don't want to say what it is, but it's an essential service, but we could outsource that to the county or another town and save dramatically. We don't have that department here, so I can't suggest that to you, but there may be something else, like I don't know what, but there could be something else that maybe you're providing that, like Andover also has a community day for $15,000. They're not going to be doing that next year because they just do not have the money.
Okay, but that's another form of going line by line. It's just a different technique to
right.
eliminate that particular item. But I'm asking a different question. The answer is probably no, but I just want to make sure I ask the question. Is there any other financial mechanism or technique that can be used to address the cap, the appropriations cap, other than literally reducing the appropriations line by line?
An application to the local finance board to exceed the cap.
Okay, so that's what we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And again, you're going to have a tax increase. Is what's bigger one, 8 cents or whatever you said.
Right, right. I mean, it's a twofold effort. If you reduce your inside the cap appropriations, then you get under the cap, and you also reduce the amount that you would be looking for a tax increase from your taxpayers, because there's a limit as to how much fund balance you can use to offset that tax increase. Like if this were a household budget, you'd be saying, "Yeah, I'm gonna send my partner to go out and get a part-time job because our expenses are exceeding our income. We don't have that flexibility. We don't have a second string tax base that we could just say you're gonna have to kick in now." I wish I had better guidance for you.
Are all the actual numbers up to date?
No.
Okay.
No, they are not. Mostly salaries and wages are not up to date. The operational expenses are about midway through December. There's a decent amount in December.
If you look at the actual number from last year, what was requested and then what was requested, how much was spent,
mm-hmm.
how much was left over, and what are they asking for this year as a place mm-hmm. to start with each department?
Yeah.
I did get most of this together on 12/18, so it's close, but not exact. And the salaries and wages are not all updated. Anything else you want to pursue?
Trying to think it's just we're going to have to, when you talk to the tax assessor, because I know that they have expenses in that department that they were able to cut back a couple of years ago a little bit, give a little back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've got a chance to talk to her. If not, we could talk to her. And, oh, you did talk
yeah,
to her?
Yeah, yeah. She just told me tonight that we had a reduction, but the CNC, the cost of new construction, that has an increase. So she's going to go back and look at her numbers to make sure, because it sounded from what she initially said that our value of a penny was going to go down a little bit, which is not the way that we want it to go. We want that penny to go up a little more. But we did have certified new construction, so she's going to review that again to make sure that that was on track. She's really a go-getter, though.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
going out to places that have chickens and saying, I think you're living here. Give me some money. So,
yeah
she's really on the ball.
She is. We had to have somebody go with her because people were like, hey, we don't want you around here. It's not good.
If I have questions, I do in the
We're going to open for public comment again. Can everybody just oblige me for a minute? I was going to do this at the beginning, and I almost forgot. But I brought a bag lunch. One of the committee people just hit a huge birthday. And
you're going to tell everybody?
I was going to have a cake with candles, and I asked the fire inspector, and he said, well, that candle's too big, and that's too many. So,
thank you.
That's awesome.
Hope you enjoy that. The week before.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. More food. I can't take it. I said, I'm done. I don't
want to
eat anymore.
Oh, but that one's low fat. You have to.
You can't pass it.
No, this is.
Right. Here's some napkins.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's that was perfect. Nice. That was
just
nice.
Me. I thought everybody needed a little break.
A little relief.
Yeah, after that, you need a little break.
That's great. And nice color ribbon.
Yeah, I did that myself.
Oh, you
and
did?
I got it to curl the ends.
Did you use the scissor to curl
I
it?
I did.
Yeah.
Well, I used the pocket knife, but it works the same.
Oh.
All right. Thank you, Lorraine. Really.
Welcome. Sorry, I wish I had
good
better
job.
News.
Yeah.
No, you're doing a great job. We're putting a lot more rigor around the process, and
this is
hopefully
the time.
Everybody is getting educated, and we're going to do our best to figure it out.
Yeah.
She's going to stay. I have some questions for her.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Can you stay a little bit, or you got to?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Right. So let me. Can I get a motion to? Open public comment.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you.
Second.
Mr. Abakowski.
Yes.
Ms. Kohler.
Yes.
Mr. McKee.
Yes.
Mr. Webb.
Yes.
Mr. Logan.
Yes. Okay.
Fire away.
Oh, boom. There's a couple follow-ups I have to do that were interesting.
Can you bring the microphone down, please?
There's a couple follow-ups I have to do. Very informative information.
Just a second. Can you guys hear that back there?
No.
Oh, that one goes here and these go there. So go.
I hear.
You can hear them all right?
Yeah, my voice. My voice.
All right.
Just speak up.
Yeah. Okay.
Just check.
If you have a property that has a tax lien and the tax lien is owned, nobody bought the tax lien, so therefore the township.
It's struck off to the town.
But the town has to put money aside for that.
I'm not sure I know what you mean. Anytime a property goes up for tax sale, it's the prior year's tax that they're selling. When that gets struck off to the town, we put a lien on it. After 18 months, we can sell that then. We can foreclose on it and sell it. So we don't necessarily put money aside. We just don't get tax revenue from it. We do charge 18%, though, and we are made whole when we sell the property if we foreclose.
But when you said when the taxes aren't getting paid, the town has to hold money in, like, let's say, escrow.
The rut?
For that. What do you call it? The rut?
The rut, the reserve fund.
Right. So a property like that, you have to hold money in the rut.
That's the 650 is the rut.
That really isn't set aside for anything. That's just so that it's like we're inflating our budget to raise that much more so that we have money to meet our obligations. But that's not really a set aside for an unpaid property.
So if that liability was gone, then it helps the town not have to have that money set aside.
If we had 100% tax collection rate, then we wouldn't have to have that appropriation, right?
Okay. So that's the one. Open space. How does the open space work through all this stuff? If you had open space or didn't have open space?
That's a separate ordinance that the governing body has passed, and it's a separate tax levy. So that shows up on your tax bill that it's 1 cent, 2 cent, 3 cent, whatever that is.
It's one cent.
That's how much goes towards the open space fund. Are you asking how is open space taxed?
No, I know we get charged on it, but if we didn't have open space, does that help our budget at all?
No.
It doesn't help our budget. It would help what you pay. You would pay 1 cent less. That would be $93,000 that we wouldn't collect. But it would reduce your tax bill. It wouldn't help our budget.
Okay. And the appropriations, the numbers, my neighbor asked me what happened, this and that. I'm like, yeah, we're in a hole at $400,000. Is that basically what they have to find the committee who just wants to be elected for this stuff has to go out and cut $400,000 out of the 26 budget, proposed budget, where you plugged in the numbers of each department, each how much anticipated expenses?
Right. Right. That would be the goal, to get underneath the appropriations cap. They would have to eliminate $400,000 of spending, that's what we would need to do to get under the appropriations cap.
Otherwise, there's other complications.
Right. I mean, that's not talking about the other side. The other side is your tax increase. So, I mean, you still have to raise the money to cover the entire budget. So you'd still be looking at a tax increase. It's...
How much of a tax increase?
That would depend. That would depend on how much gets cut. If capital gets cut, that's when it would help to reduce capital. That would help decrease what the tax increase would be.
So you don't buy a car, you defer things like that.
Right.
You catch up to...
It sounds like the worst was the 8 cents. Right now, if we were to not touch a thing, it would be like an 8 cents per $100 of assessed value, which is astronomical.
So, if you have a department or a board and you just do a proposed budget of $30,000, but there's little activity going on, does the committee say, "Yeah, we don't anticipate that $30,000 being used up. We're going to cut it to 15."
That's definitely in their purview. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Based on data.
Activity. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. The only problem is if you do cut that to 15 and then some application comes in before the board and you need your professionals for something, or you have other expenses that are generated because of that unforeseen application, then you don't have the money to pay for it.
But the professionals are being paid by the applicant.
In most cases.
Well, depends. In a normal situation, the escrows are paying for the paying for the professionals.
Mm-hmm.
So the other costs to run those boards are basically administrative, and that can be somewhat controlled.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had a planning board meeting, and it was a reorg, and the attorney was there, but there's no applicant. So there's your administrative cost that you're going to incur. Otherwise, if you minimize those non-applicant meetings, and you can have a savings, correct?
You'd still have the employee that works in that capacity, but you could...
The secretary, who shows up, or I don't know if they get paid overtime, or I don't know what they're
paid by.
Yeah.
She's coming here.
Okay. I think, so in a nutshell, overall... The big hit is insurance, salaries, liability insurance, things like that. That's the big increases that are not out of, everybody's getting hit with.
You're correct.
So now you got to find the other areas. Okay. All right. Good luck.
Anybody else?
Lori Hoffman, I just want to commend Lorraine. I've been to many budget hearings, and you explained it so nicely.
Thank you.
So nobody has ever been able to say, this is what the how much money they're charged, that committee, like the police, $100,000, but we're getting back $50,000. Before, they never could tell us that. So that shows we're really only expending $50,000 instead of $100,000. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All I have to say. And happy birthday to Tom and
yes, right.
Beth.
The 6th and the 13th.
They're older than me.
Yeah. I was born on Friday the 13th.
Were you really?
Yeah, I was born on Friday the 13th.
Wow.
Yeah. And my father-in-law said, somehow I knew that.
He found it out.
Anybody else who may have any questions, comments? By the way, Bev won't be found floating in the river. It's my turn this year. See, I gave you an opening, Chip.
I know you gave that extra 2 seconds.
Chip Angel. Just a couple of questions on this. This gentleman talked about the delinquent taxes, and you mentioned there were at some point $100,000, was it, in the very early part of this your presentation?
I don't.
He didn't mention. That's not correct.
Okay, but what was the basis for the? I don't have your term for. You have to hold back something. What do you call it?
Okay, the reserve for uncollected taxes, the RUT.
Yes, so that's $650,000. Is that real money, or is that just accounting entry?
Real money.
It's really just an accounting entry.
About as real as
so okay. It's just saying that I'm trying to think of like a home kind of example, but that's just the amount of money that we need to raise in excess of what we really need so that we can pay the school and the county all of their obligations
right.
And still need hours.
That's a multiplier of what we estimate their uncollected taxes are.
Correct.
Right? So what are we estimating our uncollected taxes at now?
It's a pretty big calculation. What it does is it looks at what our tax collection rate was, and then it tamps down from there, and it looks at what you anticipate your county taxes are going to increase to, which we never know. So normally we're a little higher on that. We have to come up with an estimate of what we think both schools will increase their taxes to, and then you divide by...
And what is that number?
I don't have that calculated right now.
I thought I heard you say something like 100,000, but how do you get to 650?
Because you take what the total levy is, you divide that by the amount that you're going to estimate your tax collection rate is for next year, and then you take that difference, and that's what your RUT is.
Okay. And the estimate of what the uncollected taxes are based historically on what they have been in the past.
They're based on what our collection rate is.
Right. So if our collection rate is something that generates $100,000 owed in taxes, that means that the amount that we have to hold in reserve is X number, that number times X, right? 3, 4, 5, 6?
Okay.
What is it? Do you know offhand?
I'm not sure.
What's the formula? If it's 100,000, what would the holdback have to be?
If you want, I can forward you the calculation.
Let's do it this way. My whole point is, if we make a very strong effort to collect these taxes to reduce this down, it will make a multiple reduction in the tax increase we would have to have to cover the 650.
That logic works, yes.
Okay. That's my whole point.
Yeah, that so maybe if our tax collection went from 96% to 98%, then we could potentially reduce that reserve for uncollected taxes.
Okay. All right, so is that any... So I'm offering this to the committee. That's an area where you can save a lot of money for 2% of... better tax collection multiplies into a significant decrease in the money you need to raise in taxes.
It does, but bear in mind that
it's hard to get the 2%.
Yeah, we bear the brunt of 100% of uncollected taxes.
Right.
So the 17% that we get to keep, that's a very small portion. Like, even if we got to 99%,
But didn't you just say that we have to tax to get that supposed $650,000?
Yes.
If we didn't have to tax to get that much, but maybe only $400,000, that would bring our tax rate down a little bit, a penny or two.
That would reduce the amount of our budget, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's my whole point.
How do you get people to pay their taxes?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not a tax collector.
Yeah, we did make
it might be an area you look at.
Door when you're doing your door.
Yeah, when you're doing door to door, collect taxes.
I don't do that.
I have to charge you
I'll
for
give
that.
You a, I'll give you a stipend. I'll give you a stipend.
Right. Yeah, I vote no for that. We did make great strides.
You can have Sergeant Clinton pick people up by the feet and say, "Pay your money now." You know.
Well, wait a minute. That's a different subject. And just like everybody, I don't want to get too far into that, but that's a whole large category of funds here. And it's multiplied into insurance and every other overhead cost. So I think it'll take some serious consideration. Do we have more police than we need is a real basic question. And is there a logic to the number that we do have? One other area, which we talk about in shared services, is do our officers need to be the school officers?
That doesn't cost us anything.
Because in the summer, some of the school officers come onto our payroll.
No, they don't.
No?
No.
Okay. I heard they did.
They don't.
I know there's one officer works in our department. It's rotated.
The SRO is different than the SLEO.
I also heard, and I could be wrong, that one or two of them also either go on unemployment or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's on our overhead, not they paid into it, but we're paying a rate for that person. That might end up not to be a significant number, but it's a number.
And the school picks that. That's part of that.
They pick up even when they're not on the 180 days?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because we found out that they could. Some didn't want to collect it, some wasn't sure, so I called down there, and then I put that as a pass-through expense.
All right. To end this quickly, the basic question is, if we didn't provide the school officers, how would that affect our tax? Because the county, for instance,
doesn't affect the tax because the school's paying
the school. Well, it'll affect the school tax.
See, that's what it takes in and it goes out.
I know.
We have a revenue
for the other half of the year when they're on our account.
You'd have to convince the Board of Education that they don't want to cop over there.
And the parents.
No, the county provides these school officers for other schools.
No, they don't.
Yeah. The schools pay for them.
Well, I know, but the county is supplying the officers the school pays for.
Which town?
No. We provide it.
Yeah, Clinton Township.
You can't just make statements. You got to have some facts to back it up. What are you basing that on? I'm just curious.
I've talked to Board of Education members who've described to me.
You got to come back and
you can see in the newspaper the rate that we're paying that the Board of Education is paying, and then getting it back to us, and we're paying it, and then giving it back to them. So we know what the rates are. We know what the days they work. We know that they don't work the whole, all of them don't work the whole year. They come back into our force.
You couldn't have talked to Chief Kronz and got that answer.
Part of that answer.
Well, you just said you got the answer. Now you're saying part of the answer.
Because I also got an answer from the Board of Education member.
Chip, I think you need to get some more education on it because I think you're incorrect. I think you're incorrect on that one.
But
prove me wrong.
The only point I'm making is it's worth looking into the idea that we don't need to provide all of these officers.
Chip, it doesn't help us at all. It's a wash.
There are a number.
It's a wash.
There are a number that goes into the other thing we haven't talked about is the mayor's in his last meeting talking about the increase in our police department facility here, increase in the municipal building.
I didn't talk about that.
The mayor in the prior
oh.
last year.
Brian. He gave a 10-minute
advertisement on how they, we should have this municipal building expanded to support the police.
Did you hear anything tonight in the budget discussion?
No, that's what I said when it started, that we didn't hear anything.
So why are you talking about that now?
Because this isn't the whole discussion.
No, this is the whole discussion of the budget. We're here to discuss the budget, not what somebody said about something that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
All right, we're done. Thank you for your comments. We'll be here next week on Wednesday, and we're going to do it all over again.
That's a regular meeting. Yeah?
A regular meeting, but he can make comments next week, too.
February.
Yes. All right. Like a motion to. Is anybody else want to opine? Okay. Can I get a motion to close public comment?
So moved.
Second.
Mr.
Abakowski?
Yes.
Mr. Kohler?
Yes.
Mr. McKee?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Wogan?
Yes. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay.
It would be nice.
It is closed. I just did a motion.
We're
going to
make a motion.
We got a motion. Thank you.
Yeah. Second.
We're trying to get the hell out of here.
Yes.
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 Rich, yes. Yes. Okay, now we're done.